If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Matt Kelly.
And I'm Matt D'Ancona.
And this is the second Q&A from the two Matts.
The no longer inaugural, but the second.
Post-inaugural. Anyway, okay.
Anyway, so that's what it is, Q&A.
Let's crack on. Thank you to all those emails we had. Sorry we can't answer them all, but because we did have a flurry, actually. But thank you to those who emailed into the two Matts at tnepublishing.com. First up, let's work our way through this mailbag as sharply as we can. Question from Rob in W2.
Thank you, Rob.
Do you think Rishi Sunak will last to celebrate his second anniversary as PM?
A very good question because, okay, well, the second anniversary as PM would be October the 25th, 2024.
As discussed in this week's main edition of the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is a Friday. So let's say he plays it long, Sunak.
Yeah.
And goes to the country sometime in October. Let's say it goes on October the 24th, which is a Thursday. He might just squeak in, even if he loses, and make his second anniversary.
En route to the palace.
En route back or whatever. Yeah. So it's possible. And the absolute last date you can have an election is the 28th of January 2025. Now, there's a lot of talk about whether there'll be a May election. But to be honest with you, I think the prevailing mood is still, let's play it long, on the grounds that, you know, something might turn up, as always what prime ministers in his position think.
Yeah.
And also because, and this was a funny thing that I heard when I was sort of scouting around this issue earlier in the week, was someone quite senior in the Tory party said, well, we need a bit longer to get our jobs sorted.
Yes.
And although it was meant with a certain amount of gallows humour, it was also meant with a certain amount of truth, I think.
Well, it's true. What's the payoff for a minister these days? They get 6 months' money or something like this.
They get quite a good payoff. But what they're worried about, of course, is that there's nothing so ex as an ex-minister.
Yeah.
I mean, the day after the election, your value to...
You are Dominic Raab.
You are Dominic Raab.
Yeah.
So they need to be getting their jobs now, or at least, you know, they need to be in the revolving door and visible to executive search people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it going on.
I don't know. I don't know why I think this, but I suspect that an election will come sooner. Well, only because I think something will come along. And I don't know what it is, but something, Labour will mess up something.
Well, that's possible, yes.
They'll have, maybe after the autumn statement, they'll tighten the purse strings and they'll maybe have a few quid to throw around in tax cuts.
And a spring budget, which effectively launches a May election or
and
something like
that.
And it
won't get any better for them, I don't think, because I don't think they're capable of... So I think there'll come a sort of moment of panic when they'll see some movement and Rishi, in his arrogance, will say, right, we're going to go to the country. I haven't got a mandate. I'm going to get a mandate. We'll go to the country.
But that's the problem, and one that they are in private wrestling with, which is that he does have a mandate, which he's got 60-seat working majority. So if they go earlier than October-ish, you know, they have to have a narrative about why they're going early. Now, I guess that what you could say is, well, you know, I've got so much to do.
Yeah.
I need an even bigger mandate. You know, I need a mandate that's attached to me. But it's tricky. But you could be right. I mean, you're right that it's not settled yet.
Yeah.
It absolutely isn't settled.
Okay. Well, time will tell. Maybe a snap earlier, but Matt is probably more on the money than me.
No, I mean, that's just the sort of balance of probability.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right that if Starmer was to stumble badly...
Yeah.
If there was any sign of the economy picking up and that crucially translating into popularity, everything could change.
Okay, so next question, please. Third, Matt. Gosh, this is a long one. Over to, can you read
it? Yeah, I can. In the first Q&A pod, you said it would be, thank you for listening to it, you said it would be better for Labour to win a majority at the general election. However, I think it would be better for the long term if there was a hung parliament. The reason being that Labour would need the Lib Dems to form a coalition government, and the Lib Dems' price for that would be a move to proportional representation in our electoral system. I think proportional representation is the single most important thing that we could do to fix our broken politics. What are your thoughts? Ben Valentine.
Well, I mean, I agree with Ben on this. I do. I think at some point in the future, proportional representation has to come into our system because our politics has become more fractured over a period of time. There are more disparate voices, and those voices do not get a look in this two-party system we've got. And if, you know, you can take Caroline Lucas and the Green Party, for instance.
The Brexit Party.
But, you know, to ameliorate people's desire to have their votes translated into governmental action, there's got to be some representation in government for these smaller parties. And you see it in other nations working perfectly well. I do think there's something archaic about this first-past-the-post system now. And it does mean that there's never going to be any fundamental change in our electoral system until that changes.
I find it very interesting, this one, because I completely see the arguments of PR. What I can't see is the path to getting to it. So we had this in 2010 when the Tories went into coalition with the Lib Dems, and the Lib Dems said, let's have a vote on the electoral system at Westminster. And they came up with this very...
The AV
thing, which isn't actually proportional at all. And there was a referendum in 2011 and it got turned down. And the problem is that there's a structural resistance in Westminster, even when the Lib Dems were in power, to going further. Now, we had the Roy Jenkins Commission in the 90s, which recommended a phenomenally complicated AV Plus, I think, which is you rank your candidates, and then in addition to that, there's a plus bit, which means that there's a list in each region where some of representatives of each party go in, but that gets you somewhere near proportionality.
Yeah,
and it didn't get anywhere. You know, it didn't get really off Roy Jenkins's desk. So I think it's absolutely true that it would bring a fairness and a clarity and perhaps some energy to politics. What I question is whether the bandwidth would exist in a Starmer-led government to do
right,
it.
Yeah.
But the question Ben raises is a good one, which is probably Ed Davey would demand something like that. If by the way, listeners, again, just to remind you, Ed Davey is the leader of the Liberal Democrats. yellow colour scheme. Lovely. Ed Davey would certainly demand something like that. So from Ben's point of view, he's right. A coalition might be the best way to that.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd caution against is that the Tory Lib Dem coalition worked because they were culturally quite similar, Cameron, Clegg, and a lot of the senior Lib Dems and senior Tories. A better guide to how British two-party governments work would be the 2017-19 Theresa May and DUP conference.
That marriage made in heaven.
That was pretty grim, and you know, it's just a warning. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah, that's all I'd say.
Good point. Next question, please. Is the internet a digital tower of Babel? Is everyone speaking their own language so loudly that nobody can hear anything anymore? Mike McCormack. Thank you, Mike, for that question.
Well, I mean, I think that's a bit unfair on the Tower of Babel. yes, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for the question. It's a very good question. It certainly is. And it makes me laugh because I remember with a certain amount of embarrassment that back in the sort of 2004-05 period, there was a thing called Web 2.0, which was this great movement that this idea that with social media and smartphones and we were all going to come together and it was going to be like that Coke advert, you know, yeah. I'd like to teach the world to sing, okay? And tyrannies would topple and people would talk to one another and go and visit their neighbours and friendship would just
is that, not, is that not your lived reality of the internet?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I can only stay in my lane, Matt. But yeah. It's not actually panned out that way, has it? No. And it doesn't show any signs of getting better. So, I mean, the people who founded the internet and the web are very strict when this is raised with them. They say, well, you know, it just holds a mirror up to human nature. And that's true up to a point. But some mirrors, you know, show the image more sharply than others. Yeah. And the internet, I think actually the internet, it amplifies division and polarization and hatred and fear.
And I wonder whether, I suspect Mike's talking specifically about social media.
Yes, absolutely.
Because when you think about the internet itself, I mean, it's impossible to imagine a world before the internet. We both lived in a world before the internet.
Yes, and hard
and
to imagine.
It's impossible to imagine what that was like before. So I think there's a great deal of good that the internet has brought. But I also think there was a great deal of good that social media brought to a point. You think about Black Lives Matter and the Me Too. You know,
Arab Spring.
Absolutely right. So it's impossible that those things would have had the effect that they've had without social media. But I do think now when you look at the, you know, let's take the crisis in the Middle East
right
now.
Well, we talked about this on the main pod this week, didn't we?
It has just become utterly, utterly pointless, you know.
Yeah, and it's a vector for serious disinformation. And I fear we're in the foothills of it because deep fakes and AI are going to make it even easier to confect lies and really generate. I mean, there's consequences to this. This isn't a sort of academic issue. If a tweet can cause a lot of damage, it really can.
Definitely. I think there's an equation about social media plus AI equals a massive fucking disaster.
Oh, I think this has only started. And one of the things that has consistently worried me is that, you know, the tech revolution is so fast that governments and all over the world are just... they're barely able to keep up with where we were in 2004, let alone where we are in 2023.
Yeah, it's so true.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, next question, please.
Right, shall I do this?
You get all the long ones.
And from Andrew Davis, thank you, Andrew. What is your insider take on what is being done to ensure there is an official record of government day-to-day decision-making now that WhatsApp records have proved so damning at the COVID inquiry, with the undoubted result that current politician civil servants will have long ago activated the auto-delete function on whatever messaging platform they're now using? Great question.
It's an amazing question. And And I do think, so with the caveat, which I'll come on to, I do think there has to be, working on the principle, what have they got to hide, right, in the fullness of time? The caveat being that, obviously, in any working business or government or organisation, there has to be the elasticity to have a conversation where you might say something that you then change your mind about. You know, otherwise, it just becomes a dogmatic flow of statements, and there's no room for dialogue and debate. And if that dialogue and debate's happening on WhatsApp, then fine, it's as good a platform as any. But I do think that there should be absolute transparency in government, especially when something goes wrong, or there's the potential to make a case that something went wrong and we as a nation can learn from what went wrong. And the idea that people are having meaningful, material conversations on WhatsApp and then deleting everything and it becoming very difficult to understand what happened seems to me to be completely against the public interest. You know, if you're arguing purely on what is in the public's interest, I think the answer has to be a full documentation of what happened and why, with the caveat that it may never be called upon. It may never be exposed to the public.
Yes.
Unless there's a really proper and plausible reason for it to be exposed. You know, I think if anybody says, I don't want them to see my WhatsApp messages because I'm embarrassed and ashamed of them, then that's the problem, not the WhatsApp messages. You know, it's the way you behaved. And that should be no good reason for hiding them from people.
No, completely. I mean, I think the problem in all of this is that it's got very blurred, the line between what's informal and what's official.
Yeah.
So WhatsApp is a fantastically useful communications tool. I mean, it really is. Yeah, we use it all the time ourselves,
yeah.
You know, when we're thinking about what to do on the pod and other things. And obviously in politics and in Whitehall, it's proved incredibly useful because it's much, much quicker than minute taking and sending round of, you know, even emails, frankly, it's quicker. But the problem with that is that, as we observed during COVID, and the COVID inquiry is revealing, you know, to pretty vivid and lurid effect, a lot of the decision making was going on WhatsApp. It wasn't sort of the backdrop. It wasn't the quiet word in the corridor. It was the forum.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and it is, it really is, then I think there's no question that if you are working in government, a politician or a permanent official, you have to regard all your communications as fair game. Now, I agree with you, Matt. I think that, you know, there has to be some sort of threshold reached, because otherwise people won't be able to function as human beings. But I think they should, you know, if you are in the business of government, you have to accept that everything you do and say and write in these sort of, on these sort of platforms, may one day be subpoenaed or called into evidence. And unfortunately, I mean, that's a gross, it's a great change in the way that the world works, but I think in 2023 it's a necessary one.
Yeah, but, and also if you have that in the back of your head that there's a chance that this will come out, it might make you behave in a better way and think twice about saying and doing. One of my big bugbears, we were just talking about social media, is how I suspect that policy, government policy, white papers actually originate in tweets 6-9 months previously. Someone has some hot take on something, and then it becomes very hard to back away from that, and it ends up as government policy, you know. Whereas if you're more cautious and take a little bit more time, and perhaps this is one of the bad sides of the internet where everything is so instant and reactive, if you take a little bit more time and you're a bit more thoughtful, perhaps policy will be a little bit better.
Well, thoughtfulness is the word, I think, which is that there was, you know, the old ways were very slow, but they were thoughtful. And I think what we need to do is find some sort of happy medium between the two, which is that the problem with WhatsApp is it encourages you to use the sort of ironic, you know, demotic, you know, very, very, very fast talk of social media.
Yeah.
And that is not actually a good way to govern a family, let alone
a good way to ask what you want for dinner tonight.
What do you want for dinner? Or do you fancy going to see this movie? Or, you know, but it's not necessarily shall we have a lockdown?
Yeah, it's not a great improvement on carrier pigeons, to be honest. I think they'd have been better.
Carrier pigeons at least took a little while to travel.
Yes, exactly. You'd have time to think.
Bring back carrier pigeons to Whitehall. Yes, Ford.
Right. Okay, next question. This is from Mo in Birmingham. Okay, a lot of Trump's allies seem to be seeking plea deals. Do you think the net is closing? Brackets, I hope so.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, thank you, Mo, for that. It's interesting how, with the crisis in the Middle East, Trump, which we were talking about almost on a weekly basis, has sort of gone on the back burner, and inevitably so. But meanwhile, it is true, as Mo says. I mean, some of the crucial figures in the Stop the Steal campaign, which were around Trump in early 2021 and thereafter, are now doing plea deals and or turning states. And one of them, Sidney Powell, the attorney who really led the charge, along with Giuliani on Fox News, and then there's Kenneth Cheeseborough and Jenna Ellis. They've all done plea deals in the Georgia racketeering case. His former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has secured an immunity deal with the special counsel, Jack Smith. That's the election interference, the federal election interference case. And I think that it does matter, because one of the things that Trump has always relied upon is the sort of idea of impenetrable loyalty. You know, his gang are his gang. Nobody, you know, nobody messes with him. Mm. And yet here are the people, you know, that were the real hardcore, that, you know, the last of the Americans that stuck with him. And they're all like, you know, mafia sort of second rank people,
yeah,
deciding to take it. And that makes him look weak.
Yeah.
Just on the other, another point about the trials, I noticed is that I was checking this morning about the some of the trial dates, and the big Jack Smith federal case goes to court on March 2024, as does the Manhattan criminal case, March 2024. Now, guess what's on March the 5th? Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? You do start to think, how is this going to work?
Do you know, it was very, I was listening to the Today program the other day. I think it might have been Thursday morning. Arnold Schwarzenegger was on.
Yes.
And Arnie, who I have
to
say, I'm increasingly getting a man crush on Arnie. I mean, absolutely. When you look at the breadth of what he's achieved in life.
It's amazing.
And also, I mean, obviously he's made mistakes in his personal life, which he's paid for and stuff. And, you know, that's all brought up in that, in the great kind of Netflix Arnie, which is fabulous viewing. I'm sure we've mentioned that in the past. But Arnie's now got this new book called Be Useful. And it's kind of, I've never read a self-help book in my life. This is not about this, you know, this is about how
you've got to have a vision.
Mesh yourself into
society. Got to have a vision,
society.
Not a dream,
exactly,
a vision.
Exactly, exactly. But he was saying, Justin Webb asked him, what about Donald Trump, you know, as president? And he said, it's not even worth talking about. He was so dismissive of it. He said, it's never going to happen. He said, it's a fantasy. You know, the idea, he's got 30% of a vote of hardcore kind of Republicans. But so maybe he'll get the nomination. But he said, it's a fantasy that he'll be re-elected president.
That's reassuring.
And he said, the great tragedy is something that we've discussed before, which is you got a guy in his late 70s and a guy in his early 80s. And where's the new ideas? Where's the energy? And Arnie keeps talking about, as does Trump, by the way, about people's energy levels.
Yes.
You know, and I think that is the critical factor, isn't it? And Arnie's saying he doesn't think Trump's got the energy or the ideas or the brains for this.
Arnie certainly does.
It's such a shame that they have this rule.
I mean, there was talk at one point of a constitutional amendment to allow him to stand.
Because, the Arnie Amendment.
The Arnie Amendment. I mean, as Bill Burr, one of my favourite stand-ups, said of Schwarzenegger, you know, he became governor of a state whose name he couldn't even pronounce, California. You know, how awesome is that?
That's great.
You know,
I love the thing. Somebody interviewed him and they said to, can you just please double check I've spelt your name right? And they said, it takes Arnold Schwarzenegger 5 seconds to check the spelling of his own name. Yes, that's correct.
Bye. How are you?
Right, we're on our last question now, I believe. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, God, they saved the most profound ones to last. The big question for the two Matt's fans, what are your favourite biscuits? Asks Jane in Stoke Newington.
Well, that's a profound one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is, I suppose, what's my favourite biscuit? Hypothetically, I'd still go for the chocolate hobnob, but I think one of my best decisions in 2023 was to turn my back on biscuits.
Really?
Because, well, I think they
do they add little?
They promise much and deliver little, you know, which is that they have the siren call of deliciousness, right?
Yeah.
But really, does it amount to anything?
Well, so my favourite biscuit, I'm not even sure if they do them anymore, but they do a sort of posh version of them now called Biscoff.
Biscoff?
But when I was a kid, they were called malted milk. Do you remember malted milk?
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
And they had I must Google it and see what they look like. I think they had a variety of designs kind of imprinted into the biscuit itself. But the biscuit was fantastic for, like, it had that lovely malty umami kind of flavour, but it dunked really well as
well that, of course, is a crucial
coffee, which is
a crucial metric.
I'm going for malted milk and Matt D is going for nothing.
I'm saying just say no, but I'm a libertarian on biscuits, so if you want to engage with biscuits, please do.
Okay, well, on that biscuit bombshell, we will bid you adieu. Please email your questions to matts@tnepublishing.com. That's matts@tnepublishing.com. And until next week.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.